I mean, the hospitality industry seems to bear the brunt of all of it pretty quickly. Every time someone sneezes, it's like, oh God, we're gonna close down the restaurant. You start to wonder, like, how much longer can we put up with it?
Today on Dirty Linen, we are coming to you from Melbourne in lockdown. Goodness me, how many times have I said those words? Too many. We're talking to Julian Hills today from Navi Restaurant over in Yarraville. I was very fortunate to enjoy a meal at Navi earlier in the year, and every great meal is now a glittering pinnacle of memory in my mind while I'm not allowed to go to restaurants for a while. Julian, how are you going?
Yeah, good, sort of. As good as I can.
Yeah, well, tell me how lockdown number 5 has struck you guys.
Well, this is a bit of a strange one for us. Apart from the business, my staff, which have all been with me throughout this whole thing, this was meant to be their holidays. So everyone had flights out of Victoria to enjoy their first holiday since 1919. So my daughter's birthday party was meant to be today. Second birthday in 2 years cancelled. She's only 5, so she's well aware of it. And my sous chef's 30th today. So it's hit the crew pretty hard, I think.
Yeah, that's just all a bit heartbreaking. It's I think, you know, we really look forward to any little break we're able to sneak in so much these days. And you know, I went on a run this morning and I heard a very unfamiliar sound, which was the noise of a plane in the sky. And I actually looked up and I even videoed it because I was just like, I just felt like a naive plane watcher. I was like, oh, I remember those things.
Yeah, well, I mean, we moved in on a so we're in Kingsville, which is sort of a flight path, not extreme, but we moved in here last March, and we're waiting to see what an actual flight path feels like.
So. Yeah, could be a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's another. What were you going to do for your daughter's birthday party?
Well, she had 25 kids all set up to have face painting, and you know, we had a morning birthday and then a family birthday with cousins and stuff this afternoon. So she took it pretty well. I was quite surprised. We picked her up from kinder on Thursday and she explained that looks like we're going back in lockdown, and she was like, well, maybe we can just decorate our house. Is that all right? Yeah, absolutely. And she said, Dad, if we do the pinata, can you not hit it too hard so I can have a couple of goes? So that was good. Like, she, yeah, we apologized. She said, that's not your fault.
Yeah,
so pretty grown up. Too much to deal with as a 5-year-old, I think. But anyway.
Yeah, I know. It really sucks. I guess, yeah, kids of all ages and, yeah, of all characters take it on and deal with it in different ways. But she sounds like a trooper. So that's great.
Well, to her, lockdowns mean bakery. So Dad brings home extra goodies from work on a Saturday afternoon rather than not being there. So maybe there's a positive in that.
Yeah, well, I know that in the long lockdown, the Navi Bakery was a bit of a Western suburbs sensation, definitely a highlight of lockdown for a lot of people. I'd love to talk about that, but let's just talk about the immediate, because you said you were going into holidays, but you still had a few days of trade that you missed out on. Is that right?
Yeah, so this is our Navi's third birthday. So we do a truffle week. We did for our first and we went to for our second, which got cancelled. So we decided that July would be all truffles. So we did a truffle menu and it was meant to be, our birthday was Wednesday. So we managed to make it to our birthday, which is good. But obviously we missed on Friday and Saturday trade. You sort of sense it coming. I sensed this one coming, but I missed the it wasn't really there wasn't the rumours that there have been previously. You know, there's been a build-up of doesn't matter what happens, we know that it's happening today, you know. Whereas this one was like, oh, it sounds like they might not shut it down immediately. We might get through the weekend, but it will lock down, but maybe we'll get through the weekend, what's happening. And then, like, 30 minutes later, it was like ABC's like, no, closing, so...
It was a really weird one because, yeah, it was a two press conference day. And I think when we had the first press conference and it wasn't with the Premier, and I thought, okay, maybe we've held it off. But then, yeah, when you get a second press conference, you're like, I think it's happening. So what did you do with your truffles, Jules?
Well, we sold most of them. I had a big one. So I had a little sale Navi yesterday, so we had kangaroo tail and truffle lasagnas and rabbit lasagnas and Murray cod poached in truffle butter broth sort of thing, which were pretty delicious, and we just sold them as sort of reheat home meals. And then we had an array of truffles, almost 2 kilos to sell yesterday, so we just put them out in different sizes and prices and sold everything except for a whopper that was 115 grams, which no one wanted to pay for. So we thought at the start of the day we probably didn't sell it. We wanted to auction it off, sort of to help, I don't know, more for my staff. I wasn't going to give them the money, but because it wasn't really enough to think, at least donate it to some sort of thing, because I could see their moods all drop pretty dramatically this week. So yeah, Beyond Blue, we donated to Beyond Blue, which is nice.
That's so nice. So was that a kind of gesture to your staff that you understood that the mental health ramifications of yet another lockdown were pretty, I guess, dramatic?
Yeah, a small gesture. I mean, we're a small little family, and you know, I'm well aware of how hard it's been for them for the last 18 months. They're well aware of how hard it's been for me, but watching them, like, we made the decision to close in July at Christmas time because we're like, well, we've just gone through lockdown. We just want to keep momentum in the restaurant. We don't want to just open to December and then close for our normal holiday. And which is good we didn't, because that all got messed up anyway, didn't it, that time of year. But so we only closed for like that week in between Christmas and New Year's, with this to look forward to. So we planned all this at the start of the year, around them, and they picked their dates, and you know, so we're like, okay, that's a perfect date, let's do it. And it was looking so good just 10 days ago. It's like, looks like we're gonna make it.
It's just so hard to plan anything. It's just, yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah, and like on a restaurant side of things, momentum, you know, it's one thing not to have the takings and to try to keep your head above water, but also getting momentum into how service runs and how the team works together. Every time you close down, even if it's 5 days, you have to start from scratch the next time. And it's not, you know, you do that to yourself in a small business when you go on holidays, but to do it, this is the time, you know, to have that conversation. Oh, what are we going to do this weekend? Are we going to do, you know, they all look at me. We're going to do take home. What are we going to do? It's like, nah, we're just... I'm just going to sell what I can that's perishable, and we'll just take a break, I guess. Because, yeah, it's this one, you know, usually I can go, okay, I've got it set up. You know, we've sort of got it sorted in that, you know, last time we had all the boxes and everything, but this time it's like we actually had to go buy all the takeaway gear, and it's like, nah, not going to do it. Yeah.
Tell us about Navi for people who don't know the restaurant. Just give us a bit of a rundown on what kind of place it is.
Well, it's a little fine diner that I set up about 3 years ago. It only sits 25. and it only runs 4 days. It's sort of the idea of having work-life balance. And, you know, it's stupid to assume that you can own a restaurant and have a work-life balance, but the attempt is there. And we do have, my wife and I have Sunday, Mondays off together. And then Tuesday is a work day, but it's not, I'm not working night service or anything. But yeah, so we're open Wednesday and we go and work with smaller farms. We collect all the produce. We've actually started taking in turns on a Tuesday to go down the peninsula and pick up everything, for the week, all the specialty little things that get grown for us. And, yeah, so it's a big connection of everyone's involved of we do. So it was always meant to be a small team that take onus on my place, and everyone that works there is very proud of it, which is nice. What we call a 8-course. It's more like 13 courses, a tasting menu. Everyone there loves it. Like, I love it. I wouldn't want to do anything else, but it's certainly been a challenging 18 months. And you see the, I think I spoke to you towards the end of the lockdown last year, and you've got this picture of how the progression of a restaurant might work of, you know, we're going to slowly build up to these are the points, we're going to hone in on things. But with the stop start thing, it's sort of like, am I meant to open more impressively? Like, I want to, there's all these things that I wanted to work on slowly to get to this point, but I want to open, and I've got all these things that we want to do and implement. Do we just open going back to what we were doing that we know was good, or do we try to change it? So every time we close down, there's that thought, okay, what should we change the way we do stuff? But you know what I mean? Just being restless and not being, not the normal flow. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you are, you are always, I guess, pushing in a culinary sense with what you do. But is it that balance between constantly innovating but also trying to find a rhythm which is so difficult in these circumstances?
Yeah, well, it's the rhythm. It's getting to a point, you know, I like change. I like things constantly moving, but it always feels weird to me to just start up again where we were, if that makes sense. So it's sort of feel like, oh, we've had a break. Well, we should come back with a bang. Like, you know, let's completely change the way we do that. But realistically, it's quite hard to get to that point, and you dream too big too quickly, I guess. I don't know if that sounds right, but
yeah. Well, it's the image that's coming to my mind as you're speaking is kind of a river, and it's like, does the river keep flowing sort of underneath even while I'll see how far we can extend this metaphor, even while the top of the water's dammed somehow and it's stopped because we're in lockdown. But is there like this idea that somehow the creative progression of the restaurant should still be flowing along underneath somehow, and you can open and it's, you know, somehow it's been developing even while you've been closed? But I think in some way it's like you need that energy and momentum, and after 5 lockdowns, who's got that?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's the everyone thinks, you know, lockdown, takeaway. It last year felt harder work-wise than when we're open, like harder. More energy went into Navi to do these take-home dinners than goes into Navi to run as it is, you know. And it's just I think maybe working outside your normal comfort zone, so it's a little bit more challenging. And I think I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so I can't just let things slide. I've got to make it improve everything I do. So I focused on that and stopped focusing on what we could do with Navi when we reopened. So the idea of where we go when we reopen doesn't come until we've stopped doing the takeaway.
So tell us about the bakery, and I mean, tell us about you and sourdough in the first place, and then talk about how you spun that into a bakery last year.
Well, I had this idea that I love baking bread. Anyway, I've got it's my first child. This is my sourdough. I've been feeding it for a bit over 10 years, and I had this idea that I'd open Acree. Like, it was just a dream. It never came to fruition. But I've been talking about it a lot before Christmas in 2019. And when lockdown happened, my staff were like, do your bakery. Let's do your bakery. I was like, oh, okay, we'll do it. And I guess that was good that I now know that I don't want to own a bakery. it was fun, but, you know, early mornings and flour in every little part of the restaurant. Like, we had a laminator in the center of the dining room, this big thing. And I just, the day that we're allowed to, they announced that we might be opening in 2 weeks. It was at the end of May. It was like, get this out of here. I want my restaurant back. I want it to feel like Harvey again. So it went really well, but I it certainly made me realize that there was a dream I wouldn't be following.
And you also opened another place through the course of the pandemic. So tell us about Zymergy.
Yeah, so that's it was sort of pop up. Like, when they announced that we could have outdoor dining and it looked like the summer would be just outdoor dining, I got together with the Hot Kitchen guys. So I've known them for quite some time. He was the winemaker. Sam Hamble was the winemaker at Paringa when I was there. Let's take this space on and do a fun beer garden and do really good food in a beer garden setting. And it went really well. But also, Navi opened up at the same time. And it turned into a very hectic summer. But it was a lot of fun, a lot of working with the ferments and doing a different style, trying to keep my same ethos of food in the menu as you know, texture, sweet, sour, you know, the fermentation, but simplifying it for the beer garden. And yeah, it's gone really well. The winter, obviously, these lockdowns take a lot bigger hit there than they do at Narvi, because we've learned how to flick the switch on the Narvi home thing. But there, we lost Valentine's just coming to the end of summer. That was a huge hit for us. That's when we had the most staff on that we'd had. And such a big loss for us. And we didn't do anything. We just closed down because it's like, okay, it's 3 days. We don't really have the energy to try to work out how to do this. Well, Hop Nation had their own issues trying to sell home beer and me trying to do Navi. So we sort of left it then. And then it happened again. So we've started doing a little take-home thing now, which works well. But it's a lot harder there, knowing that we've got this second thing. I'm meant to be expanding Narvi into next door, and that, you know, I got offered the space. I wish they'd offered it to me probably at the end of next year, not this year, but it sort of felt hard to say no to the space next door when I'm bursting at the seams with our customers. So, it's sort of hard and tricky to work out what I'm meant to do with, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean that's a lot of balls to keep in the air. Because Zymergy is quite a large beer garden, and there's also an indoor space there. It's sort of built around a grill, and as you say, fermentation, and also that partnership with Hop Nation Brewers, and then Narvi's, you know, dinner. It's set menu. It's much more composed dishes, but also a big focus on, I guess, fermenting and preserving. Can you just give us a little explanation of how you might take a bit of produce or a dish and the different approaches you'd take to it for the two places?
Well, I mean, it's not too different, to tell you the truth. Ingredients in, as a whole are the most important thing. So, we obviously at Narvi, we're going to fillet a fish and serve a small fillet, and I'm going to try to get all those textures into, say, 5 bites. Where at Zymergy, I try to get it all into something that shares, you can share. So it's the approach has been a bit nicer, where I can say, I can get a whole fish and sell a whole fish at Zymergy, where at Narvi, obviously I can't do that. You don't want a whole fish in the middle of your 13 courses. So cooking whole side things. Like we did a pork neck that we rubbed in a charcoal miso sort of crust, and just to be able to slow roast that and slice that off. Again, you can't really do that at Na'vi. So kind of stuff is it's only a different approach in how much we can serve on a plate. I think I've always looked at I when I used to do a la carte, I hate the idea of just putting a filler on the plate so you could serve a really nice piece of meat. Like, I wanted the focus to be the meat, but you know, when people come out and they order just a main course, they expect, you know, there to be a potato or something on there to fill them up. And the idea of filling people up with just for the sake of it, so they can eat a small bit of produce. Where at Zymergy, we don't have to do the fillers because the fillers are part of the menu. So it's a similar style in cooking. So it's not like here's a steak, veg, and your base sort of filler, potato, rice. Yeah.
So every dish, people can sort of build a meal in that way if they want to, but every dish can stand on its own merits as well. Sorry for saying it wrong about a million times.
So it's, yeah.
Zymergy.
It's funny because it was a pop-up, it wasn't discussed properly. We've had a few debates leading into Christmas, and then it was like, I think we were all, the three partners were all saying it slightly differently, which is funny. I don't know why.
Maybe I'll say it Zymergy from now on.
But it's Zymergy. That's what we're locked in on.
What does it actually mean?
So it's the art of fermentation, predominantly in beer, though. So it just seemed fitting with the way I was gonna work with the food, the preserving and stuff, and then matching it to the beer. So it's there for good now, as long as we don't keep locking down.
It's quite a little hub there where it is in Footscray West. There's lots of great places to eat there now. Well, not that, I mean, there have been for years, but it's just like there's so much variety and, it's just really cool.
Yeah, it's a good little strip. There's a few new places opening up soon. It's going to really, really change that little area, which is good. It's a good area. I guess the people have missed Yarraville and Kingsville and Seddon are sort of in Footscray West, and it's getting very cool. Yeah.
Speaking of the neighbourhood, tell us about your community and the community that's really supported Na'vi. Like, did you learn something more about the place where the restaurant was situated through all the adversity?
I did. I mean, I was pretty amazing to see the support straight off the bat. Like, I couldn't, you sort of, like, we realised that a lot of locals ate at Na'vi, and then there's a lot that have been trying to eat at Na'vi that came out to sort of show their support, which is nice. I live pretty close, so I know a lot of faces around here anyway. So most people I dine, I'm trying to work out whether they live next door to me or they've dined before. You know, do you know what I mean? So it's a lot of the people that I go to daycare with or kindergarten, it's a lovely little community that everyone knows everyone, and it's a lot smaller than you think. Like, it's not like it's, I don't know, I haven't lived anywhere in Melbourne for a while, but like in North Melbourne was just a big suburb that didn't have a community sense, whereas this whole area, Yarraville, Seddon and Kingsville and Footscray. I mean, I called Na'vi because it means local in Cherokee, because it was sort of to fit, because I knew the local support for places around here was big. Yeah, which is why I named it local. Yeah.
And do you have a connection with that American, the American culture?
Well, I personally, I mean, my dad's heritage is Cherokee. So, like, it's great, 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 great grandparents. So it's just a play on words that I didn't want to just say local, and we were sort of looking for different names, and I think Dad said, "Why don't you try some Cherokee words?" I was like, "Okay," and then yeah, that's how it's pronounced Nawi, but spelt Navi. So again, the Zymergy, Jimergy, Submergy. Yeah.
I love it. It's amazing. Speaking of people opening cool things and giving them great names, can we just mention Barry, who went and opened Warcop?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Tell us about Barry Susanto and his time at Navi, what he brought to the place and what he's gone on to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, Barry was at Navi from day dot. Like the nicest guy you'll ever meet. And like... there was never any question about his support for Navi. Like he loved Navi just as much as I did. He breathed and lived it. And then with lockdown, he wanted to do something on his own, and sandwiches. He really wanted to bring Indonesian cuisine somehow and make people try the flavors rather than just like an Indonesian restaurant. So yeah, the sandwiches, great concept. They're pretty delicious too.
And so he said he road tested some of his sandwiches. So they're like Indonesian dishes, whether like rendang or chicken taliwang, and just really gado gado, but all in sandwiches. And it's just so irresistible. But he told me that he road tested them on you guys during lockdown.
Yeah. Yes, he did. And like we've got the two toaster machines there that we were cooking crumpets on, so sandwich presses. So he, they got fired up for him. And the beef rendang is like, I'm like, this is good, but make it more rendang. Like I want to taste all that ginger and lemongrass and everything, you know, so. The sandwiches are good. I really like them.
Yeah, they're super tasty. So anyone who hasn't checked out Warcop, and if it's in your 5K, if you're near Richmond, go check it out during lockdown. And if not, just look forward to it on the other side. Speaking of the other side, Julian, I guess we're all waiting to see what happens. How are you feeling about the next few weeks?
I'm a bit lost, to tell you the truth. Like this, we were just having this conversation. For one, I don't want to talk politics, but there's no clear road, like I don't want to say the roadmap because we don't seem to have an idea of what a way out of this. Like at some point we've got to start living with it, right? We've got to be vaccinated to the point where we live with the fact that there's going to be cases in our community, and it just doesn't feel like that point's been talked about or it's coming up anytime soon. So and until we start talking about that, this is inevitable. So don't plan anything because it's a good chance you'll be locked down. You know, that's how I feel. It's, you know, a message of we can't let this variant in from India because it's worse than what we've ever seen, to this variant's here, but I run with it. Maybe we can do it without a lockdown in New South Wales. You're like, oh, come on, that's pretty mixed messaging right there. So what are we meant to do? When the politicians don't really know what they're doing, how are we meant to really plan what we're doing? So the other side, I don't know where the other side is. You know, I don't want to sound negative, but...
Well, that's the reality that we're in, isn't it? And it's, you know, as you said at the beginning, it's not just about opening the door. It's just the energy that you need to put into gearing up and then gearing down and then gearing back up and carrying staff through these, like practical but also very emotional ups and downs. It's a big burden.
Yeah. So, I mean, the hospitality industry seems to bear the brunt
of all of it pretty quickly. You sort of see that around here in this area, that there's a lot of people that can work from home and their jobs are only affected by the fact that they can't go to their office. Every time someone sneezes, it's like, oh God, we're gonna close down the restaurant. I got to work out what to do with everyone. Yeah. And I know I'm not alone in this, and I'm probably better off than a lot because I've got a small place.
It is tough for everyone in different ways, but it's definitely, well, yeah. I mean, we talk to hospitality people on this podcast and we know just how draining and devastating and difficult it is. And I guess we also see how resilient people are, but you just don't need to have your resilience tested this much, surely.
Constantly, yeah. You start to wonder, that's for sure. You know, how much longer can we put up with it? Every time you get a glimmer of hope, as soon as you think you're getting some momentum, you just can't.
Julian, I've got some good advice for you though. Just have an extra whack at the pinata, and wish your daughter a very, very happy birthday from all of us.
Yeah, I will do. Yeah,
thank you so much for talking to us. I'm really sorry it's under such difficult circumstances, but I know that you're going to come through and lots of people are going to enjoy beautiful meals at Navi and Zymergy in the future. Thanks for bringing what you bring to the hospitality world, Jules, and all the best.
See ya.
This is Dirty Linen and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.